turning your Bibles. That's a funny statement, you know, turning in your Bibles. I don't know how you could do that. You could put it on the floor, turn around in them. But turn to your Bibles to Daniel chapter 11. I want to read just verse 32, the second half of it, where the prophet says this: "But the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits." This version says take action. And that's what happens when you know God. You're not prone to be passive and indifferent. You become full of God's strength and you take action. And the word in the King James says exploits. I like that. So let's take a look at a couple of the words here. The people who know, the Hebrew word is yada, and it means to comprehend and to discern. It means to discover. It means that those people are learned and understand by perceiving through constant observation. Meaning if you want to know somebody, you have to do all those things. You have to constantly observe, discern, perceive them, recognize who they are, what they've done, what their character is like. And the more you do that, the more you know your God, the stronger your faith is going to be. And God, when you say God, you have to understand all that God is. How many different names are there for God? Just shout out a couple that you know. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. What else? Jireh. See, that's God. That's his character. All the things that you're saying right now, that's who he is. So when you use his name, you draw up into your thought light all of the characteristics of God, all the features, all the blessings, all the benefits, all the history, everything he's done, everything he can do, all of his promises, all of his power. You draw them all up. I was just thinking about this morning, and I thought about Roberta Thoreau. Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Roberta, but if I think of Roberta, I don't just see a face. I see a person who has accomplished a lot of things. I know her behavior. I've seen her act. I've watched her perform. I've seen her faithfulness, her dedication, her sensitivity, her service. So when I see Roberta Thoreau, I have all of that in my mind. I don't just see a blank picture of a woman in a skirt or a dress. You know what I'm saying? I don't just see her hair and makeup. I see her, all she is. I've discerned by her experience with me. That's what it is with God. Oftentimes, our knowledge of God is limited. And our limited knowledge of God, and I'm not talking about mental knowledge. I'm talking about that deep, inward, truthful thing that sets your spirit on fire, because to know him is to love him. And that's how you have to know God. All there is about him. All the things he's done. What are the exploits that we can do who are those who know God? What are exploits? They are notable, heroic acts. That's you. The Bible is written and is given to you to reveal to you who you are in God. Would you like to do notable heroic acts? Yeah. Let me stop and say this. The tendency to divide the extraordinary activities, the miracles, all the other great testimonies that come from people, is to divide them into the category of those who are in ministry and those who are not. But the reality is, God is speaking to the whole of us, that all of us are entitled to do these notable heroic acts. I was talking with a pastor on Friday. We were praying together, and I said, "Do you remember Mel Tari?" How many here remember Mel Tari? Not too many of us, but it was, let's see, in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, I believe it was. There was a revival in the Far East in a group of islands called Timor. And these were native-type peoples. And they had known Jesus Christ. They had been evangelized, but they were pretty much steeped in regular, traditional Christian behavior. And there was a revival there. And Mel Tari was greatly impacted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he would take a small team. Now, Mel Tari was not in ministry, okay? Just so you know that. He was you guys. And he gathered a little team of ministers with him, people who would go with him and evangelize. And they did all kinds of amazing exploits. They would walk on flooded rivers filled with crocodiles, walk right across. They would go through the forest steeped in rain and not be wet because God would cover them with a canopy. They would go into villages where the people wanted to kill them, and gave them poisonous food. They would eat it and not die. They would turn water into wine. They would raise the dead. They were doing exploits because God had visited them and they knew him. They had absolute faith in him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He was not somebody extraordinary. He was ordinary. But he knew his God. And the people who know their God will be strong. Strong and do exploits. I'm not putting you under the gun. I'm not telling you to perform. I'm telling you to believe. So that at any time that God wishes to move through you, you won't have to gather your wits about you. You will already know your God. That's a key thing. People have been saying for, I don't know, decades, that an era is coming upon the church when the no-name people are going to do the great things that God has promised they would do. These signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And I believe that era is coming upon the church. Let's turn to Mark 11 and visit that scripture where Jesus said, have faith in God. I'm not going to teach for a long time because I want to spend as much time, I want you to have as much time to kind of soak in this truth after I share and for us to minister to one another and to let the Holy Spirit have his way with us. Mark 11, 22. Jesus replied to them and said, have faith in God. I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. This is an answer to a question. Remember this. Jesus and the disciples were walking by a fig tree the day before. Jesus looked at the tree. He wanted to eat. He examined the tree. There were no figs on it. What is not said, but what must have happened, was Jesus talked to the Father. Hear me now. It is not recorded, but it must be clear that he talked to the Father about the tree, saying, what's going on here? And the Father said to him, curse the fig tree. It's a symbol of Israel, actually. I don't know if you knew that. That it was fruitless as a nation. And he said, curse the fig tree. And it will be dried up tomorrow. Now, Jesus, who was in his human form, please understand this, not operating in his divinity, but in his humanity with the Holy Spirit, talked to the Father, and the Father said, do this. And he had faith in the Father, and so he did it. So now the disciples the next day say to him, Jesus, what happened? He answered them what he believed. He wasn't just telling them what to believe, but he was telling them what he believed. Are you with me here? He said, believe in God. Have faith in God, who was in him, and by his authority and his power, and by Jesus' obedience, cursed the fig tree, and the power dried it up. That's what he was teaching them. He wasn't just throwing a scripture out at them. Ooh, I tell you what, when I got this revelation, It goes along with everything Jesus said about the works he did here on the face of the earth. He said, everything you hear me teach, the Father gave me the words. Every work that you see me do, every miracle that I conduct, the Father in me, he does that. Whatever the Father shows me, whatever I see of him, that's what I'll do. And the power of God, the Father in him by the Spirit, did the work. Now, he revealed these things not to be self-deprecating, not to just show humility, but to show us how we are to live. Because he said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do, and even greater. Because I go to the Father. And if he went to the Father, he promised to send back the Spirit. So that now the Spirit who dwells in us is the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus and did the works while he was on the face of the earth. I don't want you just to think about, well, I'll do miracles. I want you to understand that not only can you or will you do some miracles, some of us will, but you're going to have a faith that you can live strong, strong day by day. That's the kind of faith, because Jesus demonstrated daily faith, not occasional faith. His entire walk was a walk of faith, believing in God. Jesus said, I did this because I have faith in God my Father, who lives in me by the Holy Spirit and leads and guides me. And it is the power of my faith in him to do this that you have just witnessed. That's essentially what he said. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 3. Peter was present when Jesus taught that. This is the story of the lame man. And I'm going to go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. And then I'm going to go back and read the whole account. But Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Get up and walk. This was to a lame man. All right, here's the story. Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 p.m. And a man who was lame from birth was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. This was not the first time that Peter and John saw this lame man. They had seen him repeatedly. He had been there for days, years perhaps. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, look at us. Now, wait a minute. Why would they say to that man, look at us? Unless, by the witness of the Holy Spirit said, tell that man to look at you. There was a sense of the presence of God in them. How many times have you gone up to somebody and said, look at me? You don't just do that until there's a sense of the Holy Spirit leading to tell you to have that kind of connection with somebody. So look at me. I'm going to keep going. So the lame man turned to them expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, or as it says in the King James, such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Nazarene, rise up and walk. Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up, stood, and started to walk, and he entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people greatly amazed and ran towards them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the source of life, or the prince of life, whom God raised from the dead, We are witnesses of this. Pay attention to this verse 16. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect health in front of you all. The faith that they operated in came from God, who was revealing to them as they sought him who he was in character, in person, in power, in life, and in all ways. So when you look at certain people, I recall Catherine Kuhlman, who was an amazing evangelist with an intense love for God and a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit like none I've ever known. She would not dare disturb him, grieve him in any way. When she would do miracles, she was so quick to say, it's not by me, my power, as if there's something extraordinary about me. It's God. It's always God. It's only God. God dwelling in us, living in us, moving in us. I have faith in him. I have faith in him that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have faith in him. I have faith in his indwelling presence. That's where your faith is. It's in him. You're going to face extraordinary situations in life. We all do. Challenging ones that buckle our knees at times. And we think at those moments, how am I going to get through this? You're not alone. The God who created all things dwells in us. He is our life. He is our power. And he's the one who will do the things that are necessary in you so that you can live. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am praying that in the days ahead, the church, the body of Christ, will do such extraordinary things that those who live in fear right now, fear of the coronavirus or whatever else they fear, will begin to see that God dwells with us. And they will begin to say, I perceive that God is with you. They don't read the Bible. They don't know much about God. The only thing they're going to ever see is us. Our witness to them, our strength. This is faith to live by. I wish I had known this earlier in my life. I think God honored our trust, our hopes, in many ways, without us having the full knowledge of him because he loved us so much. I believe he'd honored us when we cried out to him, even when we did not have full knowledge of him. But that does not mean he does not want us to have full knowledge of him. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippian church, he was not a novice. He said to them, I want to know him. He was confessing honestly, humbly, I want to know him. Look at Philippians 3 and read what Paul said. I want to know him in every dimension. I want to know him in his sufferings. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to be conformed to him. I want to know him. And yet, he wrote to the Galatians and he said this. He said that he was grateful that when the Lord separated him from his mother's womb, it pleased God to reveal the Son in him. So here's what I want to say about that. You may have some revelation of him dwelling in you, but there must be an ongoing desire to know him more. It's a love affair. You cannot stop at the beginning. You've got to continue. Once you start, you have to continue. Too little, we want to know things. We want to know things about scriptures. We want information. But the truth of this, you know, I recall the time that Jesus was in this confrontation with, I don't know if it was the Pharisees or the scribes. It's in John 5. And he said to them, you know, you guys search the scriptures because in them you think you're going to find eternal life. Well, they testify of me, and here I am, and yet you will not believe. The point being that everything that is written here points to him so that we end up not knowing information about him, but we know him. That is the goal of our faith, to know him more. And that's what will make you strong in life. That's what will keep you from wavering and struggling and crying and wondering where he is. We sang this morning about, we know that he's coming. Here's what you must also know. He already came. Okay? Can you handle that? He's here dwelling in us. He promised that. If we don't read the scriptures like and just read them as they are, like he promised in John, he said, I will come. It wasn't future, it's present. In the spirit, he said, I will come to you. And the Father's coming too. And the Holy Ghost, and we'll all be there. And that's what we must believe in today. Will there be a time in the future? Yes, we're going to see Jesus. There will be a marriage. We, the bride, will be connected with him. We're in preparation now, but his presence is here. Not in a secondary class, like, oh, this is a second class Jesus until the full one comes. The whole one is here, dwelling in us. It's a lot to handle for our mortal minds, but not impossible for our spirits to grasp and understand. So that's my prayer for us today. God, like Paul, we want to pray today to you, to ask you, to help us to know you more. Give us a spirit of knowledge and revelation in Jesus Christ, at who he really is. We need to know this because he is our life, the Prince of Life. By him, our faith exists. Our power in him comes through him to our lives and through our lives. We ask this today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, please. You are the teacher of the church. Guide us in these truths. Impart them deeply into our souls, to our spirits. Reveal Christ more and more, that we might know you, Jesus, like never before. Like never before. We ask this. Amen and amen. The Lord just spoke to me and said, make sure my children know this. This is not a work. Do not seek me in order to have more power, more faith. Seek me for who I am. Seek me that you might have a deeper relationship with me. Seek me that your love will grow more and more. Seek me as I seek you. It is a goal for us to have a greater relationship, not just to accomplish more things. Do not get this out of order, is what he's saying. Do not get this out of order. Know me, which is the highest thing you can achieve. The consequence, the result, the benefit and the blessing of knowing me is your faith will be increased. Because you trust in me, the one you know. The Lord also said this, when you seek to know me, that is when I get to interact with you more. When you want to know who I am, then I reveal myself and we have a sweeter relationship. Your joy will increase, not just your faith. Thank you, Lord. Here's another thing the Lord just spoke. And this speaks a lot to me. I hope it speaks to you. He said, there will become more and more revelations from me to you. But seek to have revelations of me, which are more important. I hope that makes sense to you. I know it does to me. I've had a lot of revelations from God. Things he's revealed to me, truths in scriptures and etc. But deeper than revelations from God are those of God. To reveal him to us in us is greater. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the perception or the eyes of your mind or of your heart may be enlightened
So you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his vast strength. Hallelujah. I pray right now, God, that the personal perception of all your saints, all your children, of who they think they are, whether they see themselves too small or too high, too little or too big, too insignificant or too significant, that all of us have a clear understanding of who you are that might settle us and put us in a place with you where we know who we are because we know you and who you are in us, that you have given us the peace, the understanding of being sons of God, that before you are all equal. There are no favorites. We ask for this, Lord. Your desire to make yourself known to us is equal to all of us, not to just a few. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Amen.
I just want to say something I felt like I had to say before I leave, otherwise I wouldn't be obedient. But there was something in my spirit going on when we talk about knowing God, that God's trying to tell us, don't wait till you need me, then you come to me. There's something in us that we just wait for. We don't deliberately do that, but we always cry out to God when we're in need of something. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of destroys our relationship. That's all there is when we come to him when we're in need of something real badly. And God said, that's conditional love, that's conditional understanding of who I am. So try to get a hold of that he doesn't want to have a relationship with us when we need him real badly. And when he comes through, then you feel like, oh, I know God because he came through. I prayed for him and he came through in this instant. But you waited for a need. Don't wait for a need. Okay? Have a relationship with him all the time, even if on a good day.
Amen. Good. Thanks for that.